Smoke for Cooler.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, October 27th. It was cloudy in Los Angeles. We're working a night watch out of homicide detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Fat Brown, Chief Detective. My name's Friday. We were on the way out from Central Division, and it was 15 minutes past 8 p.m. when we got to South Peoria Street, number 267.
You're gloomy, huh?
Yeah, sultry.
Looks like we're in for some rain.
Yes, sir?
Police officers. Lieutenant Barkager.
Yes, you want to come in?
Thank you. This is Sergeant Romero. I'm Sergeant Friday, Central Homicide.
How are you? My name's Todd Dimmitt. Lieutenant Barker's in here on the phone.
All right,
Sam. Yeah. Now listen. Romero, Friday.
How's it going, Lieutenant?
Not good. You met Mr. Jimison?
Oh, sure. Sit down, gentlemen. Would you like some coffee? I can have some.
No, thank you.
We didn't want to bother the girl's parents any more than we had to. Jimison here is one of the neighbors. He's been nice enough to let us use his phone.
The kid disappeared about 4 this afternoon, is that right?
At 3:45. Got out a local broadcast on him. Here's a missing report.
Thank you, sir. Elmer Griswold, age 11. Barbara Sperry, 7-year-old. He talked to both families.
Yeah. At 3:30 this afternoon, Mrs. Griswold sent her daughter to the grocery store down on Sycamore Avenue. It's about 10 blocks from their home. The Sperry girl, a friend of hers, she went with her.
Anybody at the store remember seeing her?
According to the grocery clerk, they were there about 3:45. Mother gave the kids a note. She brought a loaf of white bread, a half pound of bacon, a dozen onions.
Yeah.
That's right, Sergeant. I hope nothing's happened to the kids. We've been neighbors to the Griswolds for years. Sperry, too.
Did you notice that the little girls were going in the direction of their home?
Yes, they were. The last time I saw them, they were about a block away, heading straight for home. The little Sperry girl had a dog with her, Champ, I think they call him. He's a collie.
And he's missing, too.
That's right, Joe. Not a trace of the kids or the dog. Juvenile officers from 77th Street have been checking the neighborhood for the past 3 hours.
And are the girls in the habit of wandering off like this?
Don't say no. It's the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much, Mr. Jimison.
Well, not at all, Sergeant. So you won't have a cup of coffee?
No, thanks. We don't like to bother you, but we may have to check back with you later tonight. Routine questions.
If I can help out in any way to find those girls, let me know.
Yeah, we'll let you know, Jimison. Thanks again. Most of the neighbors we talked to have been the same, anxious to help. Some of them are out with our juvenile officers now, trying to pick up a lead on the kids.
You check the movie theater and the playgrounds in the neighborhood.
Everything, Joe.
Those are some of your men from juvenile, Lieutenant?
Yeah, looks like it. Yeah, Schwartz and Preston.
Huh?
Yeah, Preston, what you got?
Found the kid's dog, Tony.
Where?
Just about Sanchez Drive up in the hills. Hope it's no indication.
How do you mean?
Dog's dead.
The collie dog was taken to a veterinarian on Jefferson Boulevard to be examined for cause of death. We put in a call to the office, and a special detail of men was assigned to aid in searching the area where the dog was discovered. We got out an all-points bulletin. The fathers of the missing girls and a dozen neighbors joined in the search. With the aid of flashlights, we started from the end of Sanchez Drive, and as best we could, we covered the ground for almost a full mile back into the Sunset Hills. 10:55 p.m. started to thunder. The search went on. The hilly terrain and thick patches of scrub oak didn't make the job any easier. 11:15 p.m. started to rain.
What's your step, Bill? A rock or slipper?
Yeah. I can't figure it. Not a sign.
What do you think?
Wait a minute. Flash your light over here. No, here.
See something?
I thought I did. Yeah. Scrap of brown paper.
Who's this come?
Sergeant. Is that you?
Oh, Jimison? Yeah, what's that you got?
I found it. Right down there, just off the path. Paper's stacked. Look.
Loaf of bread, few oranges, package of bacon.
Where'd you find it? Right down there. Mr. Holm questioned me. We were heading back to the cars when I saw this bag lying to one side of the bush.
We'll take it, Jimison. Thanks. Let's go, Miss.
That means that Bob and Thelma were up here today.
You haven't mentioned that to either one of the girl's fathers.
No, I haven't.
Good. You're having a hard enough time as it is.
Friday? Ben? See him for a minute?
Yeah.
excuse us, Mr. Simpson.
Certainly. Yeah?
Schwartz and I checked with the vet who examined the dog. What did he say? Says the dog was beaten to death. We made another attempt to continue the search of the Sunset Hills area for the two missing girls, but the heavy rain and the darkness made the job impossible. The rain had also destroyed the physical evidence at the spot where we had found the grocery bag. We went back to Jimerson's house and called the office again. Another detail of men was assigned to be on hand to help in the search when it resumed at daylight. Chief of Detectives Thad Brown and Captain Harry Elliott of Homicide were notified of late developments. At 25 minutes past midnight, we started to retrace the steps of the two missing girls from the time they left their homes at 3:30 the afternoon before. We covered every foot of ground along the route which the girls reportedly took on their way to the grocery store. We got the grocery clerk out of bed and interviewed him again. We talked with two elderly ladies in the neighborhood who said that they had seen the missing children between 3 and 4 p.m. the previous afternoon. They could add nothing to what Jimerson had already told us. 3:30 a.m. was still raining hard. We drove back to South Peoria Street and sat in the car. The lights were still burning in the homes of the missing youngsters, the Griswolds and the Sperrys. Jimerson asked us in for coffee again. This time we accepted. We went in and sat around the kitchen table. Glenn Chandler and Stendahl from Homicide, Lieutenant Barker, Ben, and myself. Jimerson's wife made the coffee. There wasn't much talking.
You want more coffee?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Miss Jimerson. Thank you.
You want some more?
No, thanks. It's fine.
You want some more coffee?
Is that about that? Sure, Lieutenant. Plenty. Go ahead. Fill the sugar bowl, will you, Amy? Empty.
There isn't any more. You
never do things right. I told you to get some at the store today. You told me? Yeah, that's all right, Jimerson. Never use it anyway. Never do anything right. All right, Amy, go to bed. You're a little upset. Not feeling too well.
Well, I guess we better be going, Jimerson. Thanks.
No, that's all right, Sergeant. She didn't mean you. It's this whole thing, I guess. Got everybody on edge. There's still a chance it may be all right.
How do we explain the bag of groceries we found back in the hills and the dog?
Anybody hurt those kids, we'll take care of them right here in this neighborhood. You'll get what's coming to us.
Somebody at your back door.
Oh, yes, Alden.
Sergeant
Friday,
yes? Yes,
sir.
Come on.
Sergeant.
All right,
Tom.
All right.
What do you got?
Mr. Griswold, Joe. Said he'd like to have you call him and talk to him. Says it'll make his wife feel better. All broken up.
Sure. Come on, Ben. We'll be over to Griswold, Lieutenant.
Right. Thank you for the coffee, Jimerson. Not at all. If you get a chance, tell Griswold how sorry everybody is. We'll help all we can.
Sure. Bad night.
Yeah.
You checked by the Sperrys' house, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Mother's trying to get a little sleep. Father's still sitting up. There he is. By the window.
Yeah.
All right, this is the Griswold home.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. They're going to ask questions. What are we going to tell them?
I don't know.
They could be all right. They could do funny things sometimes.
Maybe. But they don't murder their pet dog. Like a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer, the police officer comes to realize that there's only so much that can be learned from his book. Time and experience make up the rest. The police manual contains no stock answers for the grieving wife who has just lost a husband in an auto accident. No firm but polite reply to the belligerent motorist handed a traffic tag. No words of reassurance for the distraught parents of missing girls, ages 11 and 7. Whether trapping criminals or comforting parents, you find the right answer the hard way. There isn't any other way. We sat and talked to the Griswolds for a full hour. We didn't tell them about the dog or the bag of groceries. Until the fate of the two little girls was definitely decided, we figured giving them the information would serve no purpose except to add to their worries. 5 minutes past 5 a.m., almost a full hour until daylight, was still raining.
George, maybe the officers would like some breakfast. 20
minutes. No, thank you kindly, Miss Griswold. We had some sandwiches about an hour ago.
Sure, I can fix you something. No trouble.
No, sir. Thanks, anyway.
Terrible night.
Terrible
night. Yeah.
And now, Helen, just a little while longer. We'll find the girls. It'll be daylight soon.
Miss Griswold, some of your neighbors tell us that there were two strangers here in the neighborhood this afternoon.
Yes. But that was earlier. Mrs. Nelson next door and I were talking about it. One was the gardener looking for work. The other one was Charlie Wilson.
What time were they around, ma'am?
Folks said them here about noon. The gardener was about 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. How is your daughter about strangers? Did she make friends easily?
No, not at all. Selma's very careful about that. She's going to go with strangers, I'm sure.
Why do you ask that question, Sergeant? Have you found out something?
No, sir. No, we haven't. It's just a routine check, that's all.
I don't understand that. The girls. I don't know. It's really something must have happened. I know.
No, Helen. You've been doing fine. Don't let down now.
Joe.
Hmm?
His bronze tie just pulled up outside.
Thanks, sir.
Ben?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Griswold. Mr. Griswold.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Here, let me show you the door.
We'll meet at the end of Francis Drive, Mr. Griswold, about 6 a.m. It should be light enough by then.
Oh, all right. Oh, Sergeant, there is a chance, isn't there? Girls are all right.
There's a good chance. You try not to worry. Come on, Ben.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you want to check with Barker again and see if any of his men have a line on the two men here in the neighborhood yet?
Right.
You want us, we'll be in Pat Brown's car.
Right, sir.
What time you got, Jim?
20 to 6. It's getting light, though.
Yeah. Let's get out of this ring.
Gentlemen, you look a little wet.
Yeah, I could stand a dry pair of shoes.
Still no trace of the kids?
You heard about the dog and the bag of groceries.
Yeah. Nothing else since it?
No. It'll be light in a couple of minutes, and we'll start searching the hills again.
I ordered up another detail of men to help park up on Francis Drive, Captain Elliott's with them.
Good. We can use all the help we can get. That's rough terrain. There's a lot of ground to cover up there.
Did you talk to everybody in the neighborhood?
Yeah. Parents, too.
Did they help you much?
Well, they told us there were two strangers in the neighborhood before the girls disappeared. We're having them checked out.
Yeah.
Griswold thinks the kids would be safe on that count. Says his daughter's afraid of strangers. Never goes near them.
Mm-hmm. How much area did you fill in the hills last night?
About a full mile, would you say, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Starting from Francis Drive, straight back into the brush.
It wasn't too thorough. Not enough men, not enough laughs.
You got plenty of both right now.
10 minutes past 6 a.m., Tuesday, October 28th. The search for the Sunset Hills area was resumed. 150 officers spread out over a 2 square mile area with orders to probe every foot of ground. With them were almost 50 volunteers from the neighborhood. The rain settled to a cold, steady downpour. The mud was ankle deep. 8:30 a.m., no sign of the missing youngsters. 10:30, still no sign. Search went on. The neighborhood restaurant owner sent out 5-gallon jugs of hot coffee for members of the searching party. After 6 continuous hours combing the hill, still no result. Keith Brown, Ben, and I went to the car for a cup of coffee and a cigarette.
Have me beat. Those kids wanted off. They had to come in this direction.
Well, we couldn't have headed toward town. Somebody would have noticed, I'm sure.
Yeah. No leads at all on that ATV you sent out?
2. They both fizzled.
The youngsters up in those hills someplace. Gotta be. You two ready?
Yeah. Let's go.
George Edmund Fraser. 2 square miles. We've been over it twice.
You can go over it again. Find them.
Selma Griswold, age 11. Barbara Sperry, age 7. Tuesday, October 28th, 2 p.m. They were still missing. Another detail of men from Metropolitan Division were dispatched to aid in the hunt. The daily newspapers played the story across the front page. Wire services bulletins the news across the country. Radio newscasters covered the story at the scene. On South Peoria Street, the two mothers sat in their homes and waited. The search went on. It stopped raining.
Did you cover that back yonder the brush over there, Joe?
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah. Darn.
Yeah. Let's swing up this way.
All right.
Anything?
No, nothing.
All right, come on. Almost 2:30.
Yeah, too much coffee. Sour stomach.
Me too. You got a cigarette on my mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Could have been one of the neighbors.
No, we checked every possible out there, Glenn. We questioned him a half a dozen times.
So do I. There's one that might fit.
Who's that?
Claude Jimerson.
Glenn Chandler had been a veteran homicide officer before Ben and I joined the department. He was tall, quiet, and reserved. He had a good reason for everything he did, for everything he thought. The three of us sat down and tried to put the pieces together. Number one, Chandler uncovered a point that Ben and I had missed completely. Jimerson and his wife were not close friends of either the Sperry family or the Griswolds. For a near stranger, he showed an extraordinary interest in the welfare of the children after they disappeared. Number two, Ben and I discovered that Jimerson's wife had an 8-year-old boy by a previous marriage. The child did not live with them. Mrs. Jimerson told Chandler that her husband had been cruel to the boy. He refused to elaborate. Number three, Jimerson was the last person to see the children alive. Number four, the bodies of the children had been well hidden in the underbrush. Jimerson found them. Number five, Jimerson had bent over backwards to make friends with the investigating officers right from the start. If any veteran officer can tell you, that's not the usual attitude. At 8:30 a.m., Chandler, Ben, and I left the office. We spent the day digging back 15 years into Jimerson's life. We got back to the office just after midnight. Thursday, October 30th, 10 a.m., we checked in.
Okay, Joe, all right.
Thanks. Come on, Ben.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Jimerson.
Oh. How are you, Sergeant? Glad to see you.
Yes, Sam. Sorry to bother you, Jim.
Not at all. Glad to help. Anything new turn up?
Did you kill those two little girls?
That's a funny thing to ask. Of course not. You know that.
We ask everybody the same thing. Hope you're not offended.
Oh, you kind of surprised me. I didn't know.
Did you kill those little girls?
I don't understand. I told you no. Of course not.
Just ask questions. Routine. Should you kill them?
Now, look, Sergeant. How many times do I have to tell you no?
Sorry. You don't have any children, do you?
No, we don't.
No stepchildren?
No. Why?
Before you moved out to South the area street, you and the wife lived out in West L.A., didn't you? Shelton Avenue?
Oh, yes. How'd you know?
You recall a Mary Gibbs out there?
Gibbs?
No. 6-year-old girl. You were charged with molesting her. That was back in 1944.
They were crazy. They never proved it.
Before Shelton Avenue, you lived in Santa Monica on 10th Street.
Is that right?
Yes.
It was an 8-year-old girl. Donna Hanrahan.
That kid lied too. She asked me to fix her doll buggy. I never went near her.
What about your stepson? Why isn't he living with you? Why did your wife send him to live with his sister?
Amy's crazy. I never harmed the boy. He didn't get along, that's all. He got on my nerves.
You had 4 jobs in the past 5 years. What were they?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You were a janitor at a grammar school down the south end of town, then a gardener at a children's playground. Then you were a shoe salesman, children's shoes. Then you worked at another grammar school.
What does all this mean, anyway? What are you getting at? Have you ever been in jail?
Well,
6 months, there was some trouble.
What kind of trouble?
I didn't know what I was doing. I was drinking. I didn't mean to bother the kid. Well,
that's all, Jimerson. Routine question. You can go now.
Oh, thanks. I hope you haven't got the wrong idea about me. I like children, that's all.
Sure. Thanks for coming in.
Not at all, Sergeant. Anything I can do to help. Well, goodbye.
Okay, Jimerson, I almost forgot. There is one thing.
Oh?
Since you're the one who found the little girls, we'll have to have you identify the bodies.
It won't take long. More gifts go up the street. That's the blood.
Well, I'd like to help you, but I got an appointment.
All you have to do is look at them. It won't take you long. Come on, let's go.
I'd like to help, Sergeant, but I don't take these things while I get sick.
We'll make it fast. Not this way.
It's raining again.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. I don't think I better go.
Just identify him. That's all. I'll take a minute.
Maybe if we had a drink before we went in, you can have one after.
And watch it. There's heavy traffic.
Yeah, lights. We'll have to wait. I need a drink. I can't go in that place without a drink.
You'll be all right. Okay, let's go. Morgue's up this way.
I can't look at him. I get sick. Don't make me.
Nothing to it. You'll see.
Here we are. Coming down the driveway. It's a shortcut.
This way.
relatives?
Yeah, I see. Those little girls. Thelma Griswold. Barbara Sperry.
Oh, yeah. This way.
Please.
Right here, Joe. Yeah, Thelma Griswold.
Uncover.
Tuned for the Stars on NBC.